can open up with this first and foremost. I don't know if you guys remember several weeks ago, it might have been a couple of months, that Pastor Kaleo, he was going to the book of Hebrews, and he gave this illustration. And I don't know if many of you guys grabbed hold of it, but I'll give you a visual of it. Okay? So take your time. Okay? If you guys want to take a picture, here I am. But little did he know that spoke dear to my heart. That spoke dear to my heart. Because, you know, I needed to be stretched. And I'm so glad that Pastor Kaleo is listening to the Lord. And he's making disciples out of all of us. Stretching us. And so, I gave you guys this example of somebody that's supposed to be like Samson, right? Years in the ministry, and yet, Samson, he didn't really feed his spirit. He really didn't feed his spirit. But I'm so glad that God is who he is. And so I just wanted to give you guys this visual. Thank you, Pastor Kaleo, for allowing me to make fun of myself up here. It just breaks the ice, so thank you guys for looking at that. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, to open up your word. Father, may I just stand on the side, Lord, and allow you to speak through me. Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord, with your word this morning. We thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord God, that we get to share. It's awesome to share your word. And so, Father, we thank you. We praise you. Open up our eyes and our ears to hear what your Spirit desires to share with us today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, looking into the book of Judges, not specifically, we'll kind of go through like from chapter 13 and we'll finish up in chapter 16. But we wanted to just kind of look at the life of Samson. And the title of my message, for those that are note takers, is Don't Squander Your Potential. Each and every one of us has a lot of potential. God has a special task for each and every one of us to do. And so it's our thing to figure out what God is desiring for our task in life. Yeah. So, turn to Judges. I'll just give an overview first. I mean, there was a lot of apostasy going on, and as we look in the book of Judges, we see a familiar phrase that has come over and over and over again. Starting from chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served Baal." Verse 14 goes on and says, "In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders that plundered them." We move on to chapter 3, verse 12. "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because they did evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel." Chapter 4, verse 1. "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan." Chapter 6 goes on. Chapter 6, verse 1. "The Israelites again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them over in the hands of the Moabites." This is where you guys see Gideon in the battle with the judges. But in chapter 8, verse 33, he goes on, "No sooner had Gideon died that the Israelites again prostituted themselves to Baal. They set up Baal, Bereth, but as their god, and they did not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Moving on to chapter 10, verse 6. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Ashtaroths, and the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the god of Moab, and the gods of the Amorites, and the gods of the Philistines. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, he became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Amorites, who that year shattered and crushed them. Finally, in chapter 13, verse 1, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. As we see through these verses that we have gone through, Israel, as God said, is a stiff-necked people. They kept turning against the Lord when the Lord just wanted to be their God. They just wanted to be there for them. But no, they wanted a king like everybody else. So God just wanted to be there to lead and to protect and to take them into the promised land. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 to 13 says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come." Verse 12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with that temptation, will always make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." This is where we pick up the story. So we see that, again, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord, did evil in the eyes of the Lord, went to idols. Yeah. And so the judgment had to come down. So let's turn to chapter 13 and let's read from verse 1. Judges 13, verse 1. "Now there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son.'" Verse 4. "Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarene to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." Verse 6. "So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and did not tell me his name. And he said to me, Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. For this child should be a Nazarene to God from the womb to the day of his death.'" Verse 8, "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her." Verse 10. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me again." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Let now the words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor shall she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I command her, let her observe." So here we see as the Lord comes to Manoah and the wife, we see that the life of Samson is coming forth. As we look to the life of Samson, the potential that he had to be one of the greatest in Bible concerning his service unto the Lord. Yet we see highs and lows within his life that at times the Lord moved mightily upon him, and then most of the time he was led by his flesh. Samson was a lone ranger Christian. I think a lot of you guys heard that phrase before, being a lone ranger Christian. We see him battling against the Philistines all by himself. Being a lone ranger Christian is not a good place to be as a believer, especially when consecrated unto the Lord. There are three areas that I would like to be looking at concerning Samson's life, which should have almost guaranteed his legacy on one of the greatest servants that was consecrated unto God, but turned out to be his downfall. So three areas that we kind of want to be concerned about is, one, the authority that was not taken seriously. Second, the lack of his accountability to anyone. And third, the lack of spiritual discipline in his life. Yeah. Those three things are things that each and every one of us should be practicing daily. Yeah. So as we have read in these verses, that even before the birth of Samson, he was consecrated in his mother's womb. And guess what? Even his parents was involved in this vow before the Lord, and that they should live strict rules to accomplish fulfilling this vow. After his birth, there were things that Samson had to commit in order to continue in God's will for his life. We see that he was consecrated or set apart as a Nazarite vow. What is a Nazarite vow, you would ask? This is what Kaleo would say. I'm glad you asked. Turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. It goes from verse 1 to 21, but we'll just read 1 through verse 9. But I think from verse 10 on to 21 is when, if he breaks that vow or he touches something unclean or he drinks the wine, he kind of is disqualified from that vow. And so he has to be renewed. So they need to shave his head and go through this ritual that he can be reinstated again. But for our sake, we're going to look through verses 1 through 9 just to see the gist of the thing that they have to stay clear of as a Nazarite vow. So Numbers chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when either a man or a woman consecrates an offering to take a vow of the Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from the wine nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fresh grapes or raisins. Verse 4, all the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine. from seed to skin. All the days of the vows of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. Then he shall let the locks of his hair, of his head grow. All the days he shall be separated, he shall separate himself to the Lord. He shall not go near any dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother or his brother or his sister. When they die, because his separation to God is on his head, all the days of his separation he shall be holy to the Lord. And if anyone dies very suddenly besides him, and he defiles his consecrated head, then he shall shave his head on the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day he shall shave it. Again, so we see this is the Nazarite vow that was taken, and we'll see that there were only a few that had a Nazarite vow from their birth until their death. Only Samson is mentioned in the Bible to have a Nazarite vow. In Judges chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon your head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." Notice that Samson was to begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. He judged the Philistines for 20 years. That's found in Judges 15, verse 20. Samuel and David finished the job of judging the Philistines because God knew what kind of character Samson was. But he would start it, the judgment with the Philistines. Others have been hinted to have been dedicated as a Nazarene. Turn to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says, "Hannah made a vow unto the Lord. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but you will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Also in Amos, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It goes on. Amos, for those taking notes, I'll just read it. Amos chapter 2, verses 9-11. "The Lord said to Israel, yet I destroyed the Amorites before them, though they were tall as the cedars and strong as the oak. I destroyed their fruits above and the roots below. I brought you up out of Egypt and led you for 40 years in the wilderness. I gave you the land of the Amorites. I also raised up prophets from among your children and Nazarites from among your youth. Is this not true, people of Israel?" In the New Testament, we see John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul have been taking the vow. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 in the New Testament. "It was said unto Zechariah about his wife Elizabeth, concerning the birth of John the Baptist, for he will be a joy, a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." Again, only three are mentioned to have had a Nazarite vow for life, and they are Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist. It is said about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18, verse 18. It says, Paul stayed in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed to Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. So again, we see just hints of others taking that Nazarite vow. So we see that the Nazarite vow was taken very seriously. And God provided everything he ever needed to be successful in carrying out the task that God had before him. How does authority in our life help us to accomplish God's will? Many of us have not been consecrated from birth or even after birth, but God allowed us via His Holy Spirit to become saved. Many of us got saved late in our 20s, 30s, 40s, some even later. Yeah? But that just shows the love of God, that He would wait for us. I mean, I think about my wife, my bride, his father, he's close to 90, and he accepted the Lord. And so, man, just God's love is so enduring that He would wait for us. 90 years old. Incredible. But once we allow God to have His way with us and to be led by His Holy Spirit, we can fulfill God's will in our life. I love the fact that today we can still see glimpse of consecration in the womb. You know, last week I talked to my brother David, and I was talking to him about, oh, you remember when people was pregnant? And he said, oh, yeah. I said, oh, I remember you telling me, oh, you guys used to read the Bible to people when she was lying down, and you guys was praising the Lord to Gabby when she was in the womb. And I was like, yeah. And you look at Gabby today. Gabby comes here, and she blesses so many of us. I mean, she just comes, and she just hugs us, and she just pours the love upon us. And it's just so awesome to see that, you know, we see those glimpses. And we can do that to our children, you know, those that are new in the Lord and maybe are going to bring forth children. Consecrate them from the womb. You know, we see others, we also see those that have been taught by their parents, as Samson was at a young age, and are making an impact on their schools and on their friends. You know, so evident this past Sunday. I mean, we had people, kids baptized that was from the school and their friends from the Bible study. It is a testimony of Pastor Kaleo and Coach Tom when they was at Waianae High School, just pouring themselves into these kids. So again, from birth we can consecrate them. When they're younger, we can still just keep pouring into them so that they know that they are loved by God. All of us are called to be set apart for the Lord and equipped by God's Holy Spirit to share our faith, to tell our testimony on how we got saved. Others like Josiah and Virginia are called to the mission fields. Yeah? Pray about supporting them. They're out there in the mission field. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. The power we read in the Bible is the same power that's available to us today. Don't squander what the Lord has blessed us with. Let's continue in our reading. Turn to chapter 14 in Judges. Judges chapter 14, verse 1. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I want this woman in Timnah, the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for my wife. I don't know if he sounded like that. Maybe I'll change that. Then his father and mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me. But the father and mother did not know that it was the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistine. For at that time, the Philistine had dominion over Israel. Even though the mom and dad wanted to do what was right, God had other plans, and he needed a way for that to come across so that he could start dealing with the Philistines. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he... Oh, wait, where are we? But his father and mother did not know again that it was the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. Verse 5. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyard of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart, as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what had been done. Then he went down and talked to this woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. Verse 9, he took some of it in his hands and went along, eating. When he came to his father and his mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass. So his father and mother went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there for the young men, used as they used to do. And it happened, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to him, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. As they said to him, pose the riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now these 3 days they could not explain the riddle. When we look at verse 1, yeah? This is where it started to go down. Yeah. This is the beginning of his downward spiral, as he doesn't take heed to those in authority. He went down to Timnah, drawing closer to the enemy. He was being led by his flesh rather than the Spirit of God. He saw with his eyes a woman for Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. He refused to listen to his parents when they tried to steer him away from the enemy, suggesting finding a daughter from their own home. Listen to how Samson talks to his parents again. He kind of demands it. He kind of is disrespectful to his parents. And yet, the Bible in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It's all about him. Samson started disregarding his Nazarite vow as if it was no big deal at all. He ended up killing a lion and eating the honey out of the carcass. And he hid this from his parents because he knew that it was wrong and would disqualify him as a Nazarene, and that his parents probably would rebuke him for doing those things. I kind of am a visual guy, and I don't know if you guys saw one of the movies of King Kong, but King Kong fights this T-Rex. I don't know, anybody kind of saw that movie? Well, he kind of fights the T-Rex. He grabs the T-Rex by the jaw, and he rips the jaw apart, right? And then he's like, "Ooh," and that T-Rex is done. And I just think about how Samson, when this lion came up, you know, he must have just grabbed that lion by the jaw, just snapped his jaw wide open. And it just gave an area for what? The honeybees to come in. You know, and I just picture that in my mind, that as he came back later on, the honeybees was in the jaw, that broken jaw of that lion, and then he just went up there and just swooped them and started eating. But just to give a small little visual, I kind of like visual, so that was just something that the Lord just brought upon me. So again, three times the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Here against the lion, secondly against the 30 men for the apparel that was for the widow, and thirdly was when he used the jawbone of a donkey to kill 1,000 men. For us, we need to guard our hearts from becoming prideful because of the authority given unto us by the Spirit of God. We need to stay humble, teachable, and obedient so we don't go down this spiral that Samson started to go down. Again, it's just little by little. James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15 says, again, James chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life from the Lord, which promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and interests. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Brings forth death. So we need to really guard ourselves. Again, when we look at the life of Samson, his eyes was the first thing that kind of started bringing him down this downward spiral. The second point in Samson's life I want to look at today is the lack of accountability to anyone. When we look through these verses, in these chapters, he had no army, he had no friends, no men to call upon for help. We see him fighting against the Philistines all by himself. All by himself. Let's continue in Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there, and went into her. Gaza was the most prominent city of the five cities of the Philistines. It was a fortified city. And that's what Gaza means. Alexander took 5 years to enter Gaza. Again, Samson saw and was led by his flesh, and he went into the harlot. So again, just going downward. When the Gazites were told Samson had come here, they surrounded the place and laid in wait for him all night at the gates of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's daylight, I will go out and we'll kill him. Verse 3, and Samson laid low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the door of the gates of the city, and the two gateposts, pulled them out, bars and all, put them on his shoulder, and carried them to the top of the hill that faced Hebron. Now, why did Samson do it at midnight? That's a pretty unknown. We don't know why he really did it, but the guy's just all asleep. Hebron is like 40 miles away. And he carried these gates up the top of, on the top of a hill. Some scholars say that he could have weighed a couple of thousand pounds. Samson was some strong. Yeah. So this was strength that came from the Lord. Verse 4. Afterwards, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. This is the first time we see Samson actually in love. And not just aroused by his sight or his lust. Sorek means choice vines. And Delilah means feeble, impoverished, or to weaken. And that's what exactly happened to Samson. Here we see Samson still compromising and playing around with women. A warning to all of us, me included. When we compromise, we put into position where our enemies are aware of it, and we become more vulnerable for their attacks. Again, when we do those things, we open up a crack in the door that our enemies can come and tempt us. He is not only playing around with women, but he also is playing cats and mice with his strength. Yeah? Playing around with Delilah when she was like, oh, tell me what you want. And crying and mobbing all over him. And he's playing cat and mice with her. Right? Three times Delilah tried to deceive Samson and tie him up to restrain him and call out, the Philistines are coming. They're upon you. Right? But Samson was just playing the game. Back to Judges chapter 16, verse 16 to 22. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. He had told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then the strength will leave me, and I shall become weak, just like any other man. When Delilah saw this, that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up here once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. Delilah knew she finally got Samson to tell her the truth about his strength. She wanted a 5,500 pieces of silver, yeah? Again, each one from the five lords of the Philistines, and each one gave 1,100 pieces of silver. What people would do for riches, yeah? Matthew 6:26 says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There are many things that we allow to take first place in our hearts rather than our Lord and Savior. May we always put God first. Verse 19 goes on. Then she lured him to sleep on her knees and called for a man, and he came and shaved off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before, as other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible, not knowing that the Lord has departed from you. Verse 21 says, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hairs of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now we're talking about being accountable. Yeah? Turn to 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 4. This is where Saul was after David, and he wanted to kill David. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. says, now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistine that he told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness in Gadi. Then Saul took 3,000 men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfold by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemies into your hand. David had an army of 400 who had his back. They would do anything for David. They told David, the Lord has delivered your enemies in your hand. But David just cut a piece of Saul's robe and didn't harm Saul, as God spoke to him to not come against the king's anointed. But David had an army that had his back. Yeah. He had a backbone. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. You see another event happening. Moses sending out the 12 spies. Yeah. Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 20. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way to the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, or whether there is forest there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruits of the land. Now the time of the season of the first ripe grapes. So again, here we see spies, right? He's sending out these spies, and they went to go and spy out the land for 40 days. 10 spies came back with a bad report. The people that dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. It's very large. The descendants of Anuk are giants. We are like grasshoppers. But look at verse 30. This is what Caleb comes to say. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, as Pastor Kaleo would always say, let's go! Right? Caleb says, let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome. Only 2 came back with a good report, and they were Joshua and Caleb. So again, only 2 came back with a good report, which was Joshua and Caleb. Imagine if Samson had an army that had his back, yeah? Or a close leader or friend that saw what the Lord wanted them to see and to impart wisdom in any given situation. Yeah. Again, if he had backing, we could have been reading a whole totally different story. Yeah. Which should have been his legacy. You know, he started off with all the authority. He should have been feeding his spirit. He should have been accountable. He should have had communion. Yet here we see he went down the path and he squandered his potential. So we see the story that Delilah kept asking him, hey, you know what? What's your strength? What gives you all this power? And he tells her a story, and then she does it, and then The Philistines are coming. And he gets up, breaks up the ropes or whatever that she does. 3 times she does that, yeah? And imagine if Samson had godly men behind him, armies, he said, hey, you know what? Well, she's doing this. You don't think something's wrong with this picture? Huh? Everything you're telling her, you're getting up in the morning and you're breaking the exact same that you just told her. But you need to watch out. You need to be prepared. Man, look at all these guys. Look at the army of the Philistines. They're hiding inside his room. David could have just said, Samson could have just said if he had an army. Hey, you know what? Wow, kick those guys out. Yes, sir. Take them out. Right? But this was what was lacking in his life. He didn't have anybody to be a friend. So, Samson knew that he wasn't like every other man. He had this special strength from the Lord. Like all of us, Satan would want to remove that strength of the Lord within us, render us useless. And we need to make us like every other man. Sorry. Like our men's group me would always encourage us to do is to armor up. So be accountable to your eternal brothers and sisters. Get a prayer partner, or even with the prayer chain, be accountable to somebody, you know, that you would be able to stand when all these temptations come your way. Let's turn back to Judges chapter 16, verse 22. It says, Samson's hair started to grow back again. Now, if I was the enemy, I would make sure, yeah, every morning, hey, you go shave that guy's head. Because all of his power is coming from his head. Right? Make sure you shave his head every day. Make him bald head. Don't shred that off. Right? I would do that to make sure his strength would never return. But in verse 26, we finally see Samson accountable to this little lad that led him to the place. Verse 26 says, then Samson said to this lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support this temple so that I can lean on them. Verse 27, now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were about 3,000 men and women on the roof, watching while Samson performed. Samson, with his eyes dug out, performed for his enemies. He was not fully accountable to this little lad who had led him to the pillars for his final act of strength, as the Lord would hear his first and final prayer. We finally see Samson accountable to somebody, which happened to be this little lad, which made him complete, knowing he has authority now accompanied by accountability. Being accountable to your pastors or your leaders in the church, to prayer partners, or whatever, we need to have that in place for our protection. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Find somebody, find a group, be accountable to somebody, because for sure it helps you to be encouraged to walk in the way that you should, pleasing in the Lord's eyes. The third part and the final part we'll look into is Samson's lack of discipline to strengthen his spirit, his spiritual sanity. Samson had been trained from his parents, from the womb, and throughout his life, yet he lacks the discipline to ensure that he would fulfill what was before him. Samson was born a man, and yet he didn't use the word of God. The word of God. You don't see him quoting scripture. He wasn't a man of prayer. There was one time that kind of sounded like a prayer, where in Judges 15:18, he goes on, then he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by your hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? You know, was that a true prayer unto the Lord? Kind of sounded like he was still growing. Verse 19 goes on, So the Lord split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he was revived. Samson was a man consecrated or set apart to God, yet without genuine communion. He never really had one relationship. It is so incredible that a man consecrated before birth, in which his parents was involved in this Nazarite vow for 20 years, where Samson was a judge to these Philistines. And nowhere is it stated in these chapters that he really prayed or even offered up sacrifices unto God. We don't hear him singing praises of psalms and hymns of thanksgiving. Nowhere is it mentioned that he fasted or even gave himself unto the Lord. How is it that Samson was able to sustain this walk for 20 years? Yeah. And judge the Philistines without building up his spirit, rather filling himself with what the world has to offer. Yeah. Instead of being like Mary, who chose the better part, fellowship and communion with the Lord. Before we can even start building our spirit, Jesus said in John, the book of John, chapter 3, that we must be born again. We must be born again. So turn to John chapter 3. We'll just go over it quickly. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered him and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten of his Son. You've probably heard it a million of times, but I'm going to tell you it again. That John 3:16, is the gospel in a nutshell. Yeah. It says, For God, this is God's foreknowledge of our condition. Yeah. That we are condemned to hell with no way of escape. Then he so loved the world that he gave. God initiated and gave his only Son. That whosoever believes in him, God gives everyone a free choice to believe in him. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You will not perish, but obtain eternal life in heaven. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. Romans 5:18 and 19 goes on to say, Therefore, after one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. This is the very first step needed to take place before starting to feed the Spirit. Once we are born again, the Spirit of God lives in us, and the Holy Spirit is also our seal that God will redeem us again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us. Who anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." 2 Corinthians 5:5 goes on to say, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Guarantee, we keep hearing that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Verse 14 says, "Who is a guarantee of our inheritance unto the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Again, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." We can go on and on and on through scriptures that would just feed our spirit. But that's our job, to get in and dig into the word of God. So be encouraged to dig in to the word of God. But let's look at the turning point in the life of Samson. So we'll be closing. Turn to verse 28. Verse 28 in chapter 16. "Then Samson called out, 'Lord,' saying, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines with my two eyes.'" Now let's break down that verse. This is where Samson got it right with the Lord. He called upon the Lord in verse 28. "Lord, Jehovah, the existing one. O Lord, my Adonai. Lord God, Jehovah. O God, Elohim." This is when he truly gave his whole life as a Nazarene. Fully unto God. He finally had true consecration with pure and intimate communion with his Lord. Samson realized that it wasn't his hair growing back that gave him this extraordinary strength. But this strength came from the Lord. He was finally able to commit his whole life fully unto God once he was renewed with his Lord. He wanted to take vengeance on the Philistines who dug out his eyes. So now let's just come to the closing. Judges 16, 29 to 31. "As Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right, one on his left. Then Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistine.' And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at that death were more than he had killed in his life." And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Sora and Ethbaal in the tomb of his father one. And he had judged Israel 20 years. I think it was Pastor Joe that said Samson didn't commit suicide, but rather he was a martyr for his faith. In conclusion, as we look back at the life of Samson, we see that he started off well, but he didn't really invest in his spiritual growth, in which from the outside, it looked like he was doing ministry in the flesh, where there was no word of God, prayer, sacrifice, offerings, no building of altars unto God. How do we apply this in our own walk? We all got saved and sealed at one time in our life. We need to grow in the Word. Excuse me. Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 22. It goes on, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the washing of your word, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In closing, if Samson took his authority seriously, invested in feeding his spirit with the word of God, meaning prayer, worshiping hymns and songs, building altars and sacrifices unto the Lord, and finally, having a pure and intimate communion with his God and Savior, we would be talking of a different story. We would have volumes in the Bible speaking about Samson's. But yet, we find him, Samson, in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Fame. In chapter 11, verse 32, it says, and what more shall I see? For the time for me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. 33 goes on to say, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lying, and it goes on. Remember, he judged the Philistines for 20 years. But at the end, he came to his senses and realized he was all about God. Those who have started out strong, yeah, but have backslid, I encourage you, it's never too late. You look at Samson's life, 20 years, judging, not feeding his spirit. But when he finally came to his senses, and then he called upon the Lord, and was renewed, and he called upon Jehovah, his Adonai, his Elohim, and he got right with God, God did what he had to do. So same with us. You know, if we have backslid, get right. Get back to your first love. God wants to use each and every one of us. Again, all of us have potential. And God sees that potential. And he already knows that potential. But let us not squander that potential. Let us feed our spirit. Let us be encouraged by what Pastor Kaleo always encourage us to dig into the Word. You know, he showed us to use the red letter Bible, or not the red letter, the blue letter Bible. to study God's word, to dig in, to get more and more out of it. And God speaks through his word. So I encourage you guys all to just be steadfast, dig into his word, and allow God's Holy Spirit to work in you. Don't be a Samson, except being inside of the book of all of you. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we just come before you, and we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the study in Judges, Lord God, in the life of Samson. Father, we see that he started off well, Lord God, but he didn't do what he had to do, Lord. And so, Father, help us to learn from this. Help us to be steadfast. Help us to allow your Holy Spirit to help you, Lord, with us. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Ed. Ooh, Samson. So much to learn and glean from. Yeah. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Yeah, so we're going to do praise and worship. We're going to pass.